Blog Talk Radio.
You, but I could probably listen to that music a bit longer. But anyway, hey, good morning, everyone. This is Dan Meadows. I'm here on the Chase the Wolf radio show, coming to you live from Western North Carolina at our Chase the Wolf studios over here, up in the mountains of Western North Carolina, Blue Ridge Parkway, Smoky Mountains are nearby. Wonderful, beautiful area around here. A little bit overcast today, a little bit of rain's taking place last couple of days. If you remember last week, when we were on, we had a bit of snow outside, so changes from day to day, time to time. It got up in the 60s here not long ago as well, so it's some people would say North Carolina is half back from, let's say, Canada, New York, Vermont area, if you're traveling down to the Florida Keys area, such as that. They call it a half back state, and it's a beautiful state to be in. But I hope your place this morning is just as lovely, just as great, and that you're having a good week, good weekend of rest and relaxation for you and your family and your friends. This is the Chase Wolf Radio Show. This is our Saturday show, the Protecting the Tribe series. And today's show is about creating your tribe and tribal beginnings. So we'll talk a lot more about that here in the near shortly. So, as I do each and every week, I always like to give a shout out to those who are, you know, on the front lines of both this nation and in those areas and spots overseas that we send our service people to, men and women who help protect this great nation of ours and our freedoms that we so much enjoy. Or at least some of the freedoms. We have some political parties that want to restrict some of that. And, you know, I'll try not to talk too much about that today, as this is a different type of show from my regular Chase the Wolf series. But anyway, a great shout out to our military, our law enforcement, our first responders, also to our EMS and fire services, security professionals in a variety of security-related jobs that are out there, contractor protective services, you know, security guards that are out there. We appreciate your service. Also, those medical providers that we have, medical providers who are dealing with, you know, the pandemic, who are dealing with, you know, other events, trauma, emergency room, you know, gastrointestinal services, all of the stuff that's out there that's medically related, whether it's a small doctor's office, you know, nursing facilities, nursing homes, you know, your care practitioners, whatever. We do appreciate each and every one of you for all it is that you do to keep us healthy, happy, and I hope safe as well. Also want to give a shout out and a moment of silence to those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice, to those whom we may have lost recently, both, you know, whether it be in the celebrity field, the entertainment field, the sporting field, the military, you know, the law enforcement officers who have made that ultimate sacrifice, who, you know, are no longer suffering for whatever it is that happened to them. I know the families suffer in the loss of an individual. I've lost individuals in my past as well. as have many of you. So just a moment of silence. I ask for each and every one of you, whether it's a moment of remembrance, moment of prayer, and hopefully a moment of healing as well. Moment of silence, please. And I want to thank you for that. Welcome back, everyone, to our Chase the Wolf radio show, our Protecting the Tribe series. Today's show is about creating your tribe, tribal beginnings. Now, you all know, and if you're tuning in for the first time, you may not know, and so my apologies for that, but most of you know who have tuned in from week to week, our Saturday shows, our Sunday shows that we've rolled out since we've started. We always try to do an introductory. We do a read of the documents, the information that's posted on our internet, our websites that we have out there. But when we talk about chasing the wolves, this is not the wolves of the wild. These are not the wolves that you see in the forests and the fields and the valleys and in various countries. Wolves are not only here in these United States. They're in many, many other countries as well. And they have their own respected place in our society and the environment and the habitats in which they live. Sometimes we share those habitats with the wolves. So again, it's not the wolves of the wild I'm talking about. We'll talk about the Wolf Conservation Center later on in the show, requesting of donations for them to help keep their wolves safely guarded and watched over as well, and for the habitat in which they live. The wolves I talk about each and every week, whether it's in a Protecting the Tribe series or the Chase the Wolf radio show, is the wolves who are the hate mongers, the ones who are the anarchists, the ones who are the, whether they are Antifa or some white socialist, white supremacist group, the radicalized BLM people who are out there who are on a destructive path for this world in which we live in our society. Their pathway, if you will, whether it's things that's happened before or what may happen in future, is that of destruction and anarchy and the defunding of police and such. And that's not what we're talking about. But when we talk about protecting the tribe, we're talking about protecting ourselves, protecting our individual self or our family elements, our groups, our gatherings of people, our communities as well. So I'm going to read our introduction, and then we'll go directly on into our class here now. Our lecture, our radio show for today. From the earliest of times to our most modern times, tribes have played an important role in the development of families, groups, or cultural communities. From close-knit communities to ties and cultural growth, from tribal sovereignty to a sense of unity amongst its people, tribal elements are human beings with one commonplace goal. That goal is the banding together of one another for the survival of its people, its tribe. Join us as we teach you how to band together to create your very own tribe through tribal selection processes, tribal members vetting, role development for tribal council leadership, put together an action plan for your tribe's success in these uncertain times. Our Protecting the Tribe series is about how we can better prepare for, and I'm going to use the term, the should hit the fan moment, a societal collapse, the survival of you and others, mutual assistance groups, self and tribal preservation, community preparedness, training your team, defending your tribe, and so much more. Again, thank you for being in our show today. Creating Your Tribe, Tribal Beginnings, from our Protecting the Tribe series. So I always like to, it's fun to me to sit there, think about things, write about things, put it on the internet, share it on social media, and to talk about it. So it's a learning experience for me, as I hope it is for you as well. So as we go along, I like to give, in some cases where maybe some people don't know, maybe what definitions of certain things are, like tribes. Tribes, in our definition here today, is a social division in a traditional society consisting of families or communities linked by social, economic, religious, or blood ties with a common culture and dialect, typically having a recognized leader. Do all tribes have leaders? Yes, they do, and generally. I mean, there are some more modernistic tribes. If you go on some of the websites now and type in tribe and see what you come up with, it's a vast social, worldwide, internet-filled areas that you can look up, areas that you can research, areas that you can read about, areas that you can talk about or click on and watch different links about what certain people think about tribes. Now, in the research for this particular show today, you know, I like to look up terms. I like to look up history. I like to, you know, probably history was one of my favorite subjects when I was growing up and in school. But I was always an information needs kind of guy. I still am. And so I think that's why it was so dear to me to be able to read about, you know, history. There's a lot of you out there, and, you know, maybe not so much that's listening to my show today, but there's a lot of people out there who want to do away with history, hide the history, get away with the history, cancel the culture. You know, you have cancel culture type people out there as well. There's a Latin term of tribus, and I may not pronunciate it with my Southern voice and the way it should sound, but it's tribus. It's a Latin term for a group of persons forming a community. Now, tribes are pretty much worldwide, and some are not, and some you would say that maybe some of the tribal people, some of the tribes themselves have become, you know, extinct over the years. Maybe they've gone away and they've become into, you know, more modernistic times. But, you know, whether you look on the Discovery Channel or the Nat Geo channels or such as that, or some of the other educational channels that you see on the TV, for those who, you know, watch TV a lot, you'll find that there are still maybe some tribes out there that's never been found, never been seen. Maybe one tribal element was there, kind of like packs of wolves. One tribal element was there, and then they separated from the main tribe, and they created their own community of tribal members. So that happens, you know, as well. You have Native Americans here in these United States, and I've met a number of them. I've had the honor to protect the tribal council members, as well as the tribal council peoples for the Lower Sioux Indian Nation many years ago. I think it was about 2006 that myself and a team of operatives went to go and protect them, because they were having a leadership crisis, if you will, and they voted in new members, and some of the members were not as receptive to it, if you will. So you'll have that. You'll have tribal discontent from time to time. But we have Native Americans here in these United States that, you know, I'm you know, most honored to know many of them. Many of my friends are Native Americans who are, you know, whether they are full-blooded in respect to, you know, their generational history, or whether they are, you know, a portion of them, portion of their family elements are, you know, still, you know, blood ties in relation to Native Americans. In Canada, which I've had the honor to go up and live in for a number of years, they have First Nations people up in Canada. When you have the Aboriginals that are over, is another tribe over in the Australia area. You have continental Africa, or the continent of Africa, who still has many tribes who live out in the Sahara, the deserts, the terrain, country of Africa. You also have in South America, there are many back in the rainforest and the country of, you know, South America and some of the more remote spots that are, you know, still being discovered in some cases. You have, you know, tribes down there in Middle Eastern. You have Middle Eastern tribes also in Asia, in many of the islands area. You still have tribes that are out there. Yeah, and whether they're, you know, for many of you, you call them indigenous people or indigenous people, this particular culture that is out there. And for those, that's one vast worldwide element of, you know, what tribes are, what they have. And so they come together and they live together and they, you know, hunt together or they work together. And they have a common goal in place, and we will talk more about that as well. There's also something that is disturbing, and you have this in the cancel culture that's going on. It's a tribal element that you know, the mere word of referring to a person or a group of people that are in a family type element, you know, a generation of people. And they call them, you know, tribal count or tribal members or tribe itself. Some people in that cancel culture want to say that this is a racially sensitive word and that it shouldn't be used in describing people. And yet, when you go on the internet that I did this morning and days leading up to this particular show, there's modern elements of tribes that are out there. And I'll read more about that, where it's, you know, a group of people, whether it's in a workplace or something like that. You have a workplace, you have a group of ladies or even men who come together for a common goal, and they call themselves a tribe. And so even in the modern days of the, you know, 21 year, there are tribes out there that, you know, they don't see it as a racially sensitive word. You know, there's people who want to, with the cancel culture, they want to cancel, you know, things like the Washington Redskins, the Atlanta Braves. They want to cancel that. They want to do away with that. They want to do away with history, and that is so unfortunate that has to happen. When you talk about tribal sovereignty, it means that the tribes have power to govern themselves. So some people would say that, you know, they're a sovereign citizen. And they don't go for the laws of the land or against the laws of the land, and that they can govern themselves. And there's fine lines of being able to govern yourself and what you feel is governing yourself, and then also being respectful of the United States Constitution, which many people on, you know, in the political parties right now are not for. They're not for the Constitution. They're not for, you know, certain amendments of the Constitution, like the First Amendment, with all of the censorship and cancel culture that is taking place right now. When you govern yourselves, when you govern a group of people or even a tribe, you're talking about conducting policy or creating conducting policy, putting actions together, action plans together, or having the affairs of, let's say, a state organization or even that of a people. So when you talk about governing yourself, in some cases you have a collective tribal council members or tribal members. You have groups put together, and in some cases, or most cases, you'll have some type of leadership structure that's in association with, you know, putting together that of a tribe. And that's something more we will talk about shortly. When you have this cancel culture type thing out there, well, you know, they don't want to talk or have you talk about men and women. You know, quite honestly, if you feel that you are, you know, this type of person, you identify as this type of person or whatever, well, that's all up to you. That's all up into respect of. How you feel, how you want to interact with others in the society. I don't condemn that. I don't applaud it. I don't condemn it. You are who you think you are, and that's it. My very cousin, many, many years ago, and we're talking about in the 70s, was one of the first people whom I've ever known. The second person I ever knew that identified as a woman. He cross-dressed back in the 70s. He cross-dressed back in high school, and that's how he identified as himself. And did he, you know, and some people would say back then he came out of the closet. Well, you know, that's how he identified himself. And people treated him the way that they wanted to treat him at that time. Some believed in what he was there and he stood for, and others did not. So, you know, tribes shouldn't be gender specific, but, you know, then again, maybe they are gender specific. Maybe there is a tribal group of people who identify as being, you know, someone that they weren't, you know, genetically, you know, gendered specific, you know, they identify as someone else, and that's fine. That's fine for you and each one of you to have, you know, your own tribal group, your own gathering, your own community, if you will. There's nothing wrong with that. So, you know, for some of you, you agree with what I say. Others don't agree with what I say. But, you know, I live my life, whether I agree with it or not, whether I feel that it's what you do. It is what you do. Some people, and we'll talk about this later, believes that tribes are cults. Well, there's nothing furthest from the truth, unless you allow yourself to fall into that, you know, dangerous element of life and of the society. So when you talk about putting together tribes, creating tribes, we're talking about anyone who is a family element. A tribe could be, you know, you might consider yourself as a tribe of one. You know, the Army had a slogan for many years. I don't know if they still use it or not, but Army of One. Well, a tribe can be a tribe of one person. There are people out there who want to disassociate themselves with other people, especially what's going on in our society today. There's no real unity, regardless of what one political party or the other has to say about it. There's no unity in these United States. And, you know, some people try. Some politicians try. They talk about it. They put their platform on putting unity together. But, you know, a tribe is about being unified. It's about coming together. So if you're a tribe of one, that's fine. And you can, you know, probably, as we'll talk about, bet your own members, because you're betting yourself. And maybe you can take care of yourself, as many of us can. We don't need anyone else to do that. But there are others. There are people who are preppers out there, or prepper groups out there, who come together. I have attended many prepper group meetings, gatherings, if you will, lectures. I've attended lectures on prepper. I've given lectures on being a prepper, a survivalist out there. And some people, you know, they think, oh, well, that's some of those crazy people that want to, you know, eat wild hickory nuts and live off the land and such as that. And oh yeah, all of them's got guns. Okay. Well, maybe a lot of them do have guns. What are they trying to protect themselves against? A tyrannical government, maybe a government that, you know, wants to censor, a government that wants to take away things that they feel is offensive to them. So that's, you know, part of what preppers and mutual assistance groups and some tribes even believe about. A mutual assistance group, and something that we're going to talk about next week, putting together one of those, is along the same lines as that of a tribe. They have the same goals, the same commonplace goals, if you will, of putting things together. But, you know, a lot of them people, a lot of those people, trying to use better English, if you will. A lot of those people come together for the purposes of crises, events that take place. If you have a tyrannical government, you talk about that movie several years back of Armageddon, whom there were people who came together because they knew that there was a government, a tyrannical government, a communist government, a socialist government that was coming in to take charge, take over, take control of these United States. So that's something that we think about there as well. There are some who are family-only tribes. You know, years ago, I lived in Louisiana, and you know, the family, the extended family, if you will, all pretty much lived in a few square miles of one another, and they were close, and they helped one another, and they farmed the land, and they grew their own livestock, and they did their own hunting, and they did so much. Canning and cooking and things. And they did so much together as a family. So there are many family elements out there who can they trust? Themselves, their family. They have extended family. They have people who come into the family who are not, part of the same family name or family lineage, if you will. But there are family tribes out there to which we will talk more about. I got a couple of minutes before we go to a break, so let me squeeze out some more information here. Tribal connections. So when we talk about tribal connections, and we've talked about some of the tribes that are out there, worldwide tribes, but some of the tribal connections, there are common bonds between those people. What is it? Well, when I was in the Lower Sioux Indian Nation in Minnesota many, many, many years ago, there were seven families that made up at that time. There were seven families that made up the Lower Sioux Indian Nation. And we were tasked in doing protection details and teaching security. I'm a security manager, consultant, and of many years. And we were brought in to help them with their casinos, with their lodge, if you will, with their land. Their land. We worked alongside the tribal police that was there at that time. I was very honored to live and be with them for the several months that we were there. But you have a common bond that you put together. There's also a common culture of people that you have. Now, I'm not talking about all white people, all Native American people, all black people, all Asian people, and such. I'm talking about a common culture of people with a commonplace goal, a likeness with a particular mindset, if you will, of things that needs to be done for protection. And a lot of times people come together because of that safety net, that family element, that protection that you have in let's say larger groups. There is protection awareness in tribal groups, tribal tribes or mutual assistance groups or family elements. There's a protection awareness. And people are, I won't say programmed, they are taught, they are educated. We're not talking about, my goodness, of what they're talking about nowadays, re-education camps because you're a conservative and such as that. That's the craziest thing I ever heard. I mean, that puts us back in the camps associated with the taking of Japanese people who lived here in these United States years ago, or re-education camps in World War II and such as that was out there. That's what I think about when I hear that. But when you're talking about protection awareness, you're talking about protecting both your tribal element, your family element, if you will. There's a great need for that because not only can you look out for yourself, but you can look out for others within your family group. I'm going to cover one more real quick, and then we'll go to a break, and then we'll come back as well. A sense of unity. So when you have a common bond, when you have a common culture, when you have, you know, people who are like-minded and they want to protect themselves, you have a sense of unity there. You know, Joe Biden and them want to talk about unity, and the Democratic Party wants to talk about unity here in these United States. I don't see it. I don't see the left reaching out to the right. And in some cases, I don't see the right reaching out to the left. You know, when they talk about we the people, what the hell happened to that? It's not we the people. It's me and my party and you and your party. That's what we're talking about. We don't talk about that in tribal elements, tribal family and such as that. We talk about unity of being together in that. I'm going to go out to a break real quick. On the other side of the break, we'll come back talking about Protecting Our Tribe series, Creating Your Tribe, and Tribal Beginnings. See you on the other side of the break. And welcome back to the Chase the Wolf radio show, our Protecting the Tribe series. My name is Dan Meadows. I'll be the host for the remainder of your show today. Got a slight tickle in the throat. Excuse me. Excuse me. That is non-COVID-related cough, I assure you. Anyway, again, thank you for tuning in today. You can find us on the web at ichasethewolves.com. You can also tune in each and every week to our live shows or to our podcast that we have. blogtalkradio.com/chasethewolf. We are still on Facebook at facebook.com/ctwmediagroup.cwp. We're on miwi.com/i/ctwmediagroup. Twitter, we're still hanging around on Twitter, even though I think I've lost most of my followers on there who jumped off of Twitter, but twitter.com/CTW Media Group. You can call in to our live show each and every week. You can call in right now if you wish. Tribal Elements, Tribal Beginnings. Our telephone number is 516-453-9103. That's 516-453-9103. I'm going to continue on with where we left off just on the other side of the break. There are, you know, some people would say there are tribal elements even in a distinct political organization or political parties. There's tribes and people. You know, you talk about certain groups that are there. The squad, is that a tribe? Maybe they think that themselves are a tribe, and maybe they are. I don't know, but I don't. You know, for myself, and it's my opinion, my show, I really don't care for them that much in what they do to try to bring down these United States. There's also ties and blood relations. We talked about that earlier. And there's also people who have certain religious beliefs. And so there are tribes, if you will, that have, you know, particulars in religious beliefs. But there's a fine line of whether that goes from a religious belief or down into what I call the cult. And we'll cover that just in a moment. In the anthropology of human beings, human nature, humans as a whole, the tribe is a social organization based on a set of smaller groups, bands. There's even integration with those particular groups, bands together. And the reason they band together a lot is for survival. If you have certain things like knowledge, skills, and abilities of one person that might be able to teach and train others and to help, you know, not everyone knows how to hunt. Not everyone knows how to farm. Not everyone knows how to cook. There's a lot of people who, still using, buy local and Uber drivers, and nothing wrong with Uber drivers, but, they have their food delivered because they, even before the pandemic, they didn't cook. And so there's nothing wrong with that. But maybe there's not an incredibly lot, like that as well. So, who knows? So let's go beyond, I'll call it the BS of society. Who wants to do things like target me for a particular phrase or word that I use. You want to restrict me from saying it. You should think my opinion is wrong. See, that's what the First Amendment is about. Most of you forgot what that First Amendment is. Some of you don't care. Some of you want to rewrite it, the First Amendment. But the First Amendment rights are the rights of all, not a select few people who want to censor or regulate the freedoms of speech for others. It is a manner of self-expression, yet you want to restrict me. You want to use gender-specific terms when, it's okay for me, but not for thee type of things, like, what Nancy Pelosi does. So we're talking about creating our tribe. So let's talk about that more. Why do you want to create a tribe? What's in it for you? There has to be a purpose for it. And what is that purpose in your life? Think about it for a moment. What is that purpose for you? For some, it might be because, you get kids who grow up, they leave home, they try to venture out on their own. Some are very successful at it. Some are not as successful about it. Some come back home. You're coming back to your family element. You're coming back to maybe what it is, what you feel is your tribe. But a lot of people want to create a tribe. They want a sense of being able to take care of themselves. They don't want government control. They want to be able to take care of themselves and act and feel that they, in fact, are that family element, that community that's out there. What is the necessity of creating, a tribe for yourself, for, others within your community? Well, you got to have like-mindedness as well. You got to have a particular goal in mind, a particular thing that you want to do with that. It's not just, let's have a tribe and we'll go around and stomp around in the woods and stuff. That's not what it is. That's not what it is at all. It's a bonding. It's a unity of people. It's like-mindedness. It's trying to have a goal for self-preservation, self-survival on it. You need to have the ambition, the drive, and the need to put together a group of people, whether it's a tribe or mutual assistance group, as some would call it, for that purposes of having that common goal. The goal could be, that you want to better protect yourself, to be able to survive the threat. And I wrote a thing years ago. It says, it is the next moments in our lives that we must be trained and ready for. So we'll talk about the 3 P's, the 4 P's in just a moment. But you need to survive the threat. So for protectionists, for people who want to protect themselves, protect their tribes, you need to know how to be able to survive that threat as well. And so what is that goal? Assistance in times of need, or at worst, during times of crisis? I helped co-write a book many years ago about disaster response, and most people are not prepared in a disaster. Most people weren't prepared for this pandemic. Most people aren't prepared for, when you run out of toilet tissue, when you run out of, bread and milk, which I haven't quite figured out how you're going to eat all that together, but some of you not even prepared for inclement weather. That's out there. You're, a slight dusting and you just can't drive on it for whatever reason. It's crazy. You don't know what it is you're doing. You don't go out and you practice with it. You're in fear because you haven't tested yourself. You haven't pushed yourself beyond your comfort zone that's out there. Let's see. The gathering of people with a variety of skill sets to act with or alongside one another for the benefit of the people, your tribe, or your mutual assistance group as a whole. Not everyone knows how to shoot a gun, draw an arrow, hunt, fish, cook, farm the land, do hydroponics. A lot of these mutual assistance groups that you have out there and tribal elements, they have people that they have put together, that they vetted, that they put together, that can do just those particular skill sets and more. And to make their community more survivable, being able to survive the unknown as well. Sometimes you want to do things like create the three P's of strategy: prepare, plan, and protect. Prepare, plan, and protect. You want to promote harmony amongst your members. You want to educate them. You want to create a tribal structure. You want to attend to each person's need. You want to encourage involvement in tribal goals, growth, tribal events. Some of the bullet points I wanted to cover. So creating your own tribe, how do you do that? You know, you do the who, what, when, where, hows, and whys of everything. But, you know, there is a selection process when you do that. Do you pick a tribe and then and choose a name? Do you join an already existing tribe? Well, sometimes you have to look around. Sometimes you have to, I won't say shop around for a tribe to join, but, you know, some tribes, if you look at Native American, you can't join a Native American tribe unless you're a blood member of that particular tribe. But I'm not saying we have to go out and be blood brothers and cut our thumbs and share our blood, and you know, especially in days of disease and not knowing, you know, what's going to happen to you if you get some bodily fluids on you from someone else. But that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about choosing, you know, an already existing tribe and you know, get yourself vetted and, you know, give the reasons as to why you want to join that tribe for, you know, for whether it's unity or protection or whatever. Maybe you're not, you know, a protectionist. Maybe you don't know how to protect yourself. Maybe you're a sheeple out there who's looking for that sheepdog, who's looking for those who will stand up to things like tyranny. We will stand up to things like, you know, injustices that are done in these United States. You want to, if you have a tribe, if you create a tribe, if you join a tribe, I would highly recommend or suggest that you vet your members, because not all members on there are for the good of the order, the good of the tribe. There are some members who are implanted, embedded into whether it be political organizations or other organizations or tribal members or, you know, some social media, Facebook post site where, you know, and I find it interesting that to even say that because, you know, prior to the election, there was all of these sites up, you know, that were pro-Trump site and against Trump, and President Trump was out there. And then if you were, let's say, on one of those sites, and then you look at the memberships that were there, let's say a million five, you know, 1.5 million people were on that, or, you know, 30,000 or 1,000 or 1,200 or 300 or 45 or whatever. And then all of a sudden, and not meaning President 40, you know, number 45, but just rolled out of my mouth on that. But anyway, you could be looking at members who were there and then shortly thereafter jumped off of that group. Maybe they disliked the group. Maybe they disliked the way that the group was going. Maybe they disliked some of the disharmony that was in those, you know, social elements there. Their social tribe that they had on the internet. And some were plants, some were embedded, some were moles. Some were, I'm sure, law enforcement personnel trying to see who were the good, the bad, and the ugly of, you know, that were out there. Think about as well for the vetting of your members. You want to do that. There's role development. There's tribal council leadership, and you know, different tribes might have different, you know, leader, co-leader. You know, it's not so much secretary and treasurer type thing you find in a lot of parliamentary groups or something. But there's whether it be you've heard of sergeant of arms and a lot of different groups. Maybe there's be security team members and such that you'll find in many of them. There's committees that you might find in some of this. So there's a lot of different leadership roles in those tribes. There always needs to be an action plan. An action plan can change, and you round table or discuss it. You discuss it upon your members around the campfire that you would see in many of the prepper groups that we've done in the past. You know, bring members together around the fire, around the circle of fire, to be able to talk about the needs of the tribe, the needs of the people that's within that. So there's part of putting the action plan together. What's the common goal of what it is? Some people would do mission statements. You find that in some organizations, they do a mission statement and they put together, the rules and the regulations that needs to be governed within an organization. You see that in gated communities. They have some type of mission statement. They have some type of common goal or procedural orders and such as that. So you find that in tribes as well, and people who are adapted and who understand the importance of the needs for things like that. You want to build upon a strong foundation. You want to have a good foundation of people, and you build on that, and you strengthen the strength of numbers, as you hear often. So you want to strengthen that as well. You want to plan for those successes. Part of that action plan is plan for the success of your tribe. You don't want to plan for the failure of your tribe. It's always planning for the success. And everything that you do needs to be common goal. Maybe it needs to be in unity. It needs to be unified. In many cases, it might be the whole tribe's decision, majority rules type thing, for the betterment of your particular tribe or mutual assistance group. Again, when we talk about the mission statement, it's a formal written summary, and it gives tribal aims or values that you might want to make sure that you succeed with. You establish guidelines, tribal orders, rules, laws, constitutions, maybe even amendments to those constitutions. Things change. It should be, for some, a constitution is it's a set document. It is. It's not a fluid document that changes. And so in some cases, you may want to take a look at that. You have tribal gatherings and tribal meetings, and maybe you come together as a prepper organization or as a mutual assistance group that you come together to, for the betterment of it. Not all tribes live together. Tribes could be spread out over, acres and miles or even cities. But in the event of a crisis, in the event of, the shit hit the fan type moment in these United States, there may be ones who at that time, whether you're spread out over a period of area and I've seen that with some of the prepper groups that I've been, taught or lectured or been in association with, you have that. And then you have to think, if something happens, if a crisis happens, how can I get from point A to point B to get within that family element, within that tribe, to close in for that tribal protection that you've got? Safety matters, both for the individual and for the tribe. You need to try to have that element of safety, first, last, and always in that. Some people call it the 3 P's. I call it the 4 P's. And I say that to say shelter, water, and food. If you don't have shelter, if you don't have water, if you don't have food, your tribe will die. You've got to have that. And so part of the sustainability and, the gathering up and, whether my family element has a year's worth of food or months worth of food or weeks worth of food or whatever, some of you don't even have a day's worth of food. 72 hours worth of food. You don't have a 72-hour pack or something that's with you. How are you going to survive? You're going to come to my house? You're going to take my stuff? I don't think so. You will be met with, you know, mucho, lots of resistance in that respect. So for some, you know, just thinking about it, talking about it, you know, a cup of coffee over a beverage or something like that. Start trying to think about putting your tribal elements together, creating your tribe. You know, it's just a start. It's a challenge to put these together. But, you know, the mere thought of putting it together, putting it down on paper and acting upon those thoughts, those written notes, that's the first steps in putting that tribe together. Tribe begins with you, each of you. Each of you has something to contribute. Everyone has something to contribute to that tribe. Don't think of yourself as anything less than being a contributing member to that tribe. It's people like yourself who can make tribes quite successful out there. So we've just got a few minutes left. I got to touch on a few areas. There is a psychological safety factor to think about as well. Trust in your tribe, trust in the leaders of your tribe, trust in one another, and trust in your community. What you do want to avoid is cults, and I'll touch on it briefly. I'll probably have something about, you know, wolf cults or something in the near future to talk about. But in modern English, and I'm going to read this, in modern English, a cult is a social group that is defined by its unusual religious, spiritual, or philosophical beliefs, or by its common interest in a particular personality, object, or goal. That's not what we're talking about in putting your tribe together. Cults have been around for many, many years. You heard more about it in the 19th century, the 1930s. Cults became an object of a sociological study in context with the study of religious behavior. Not all religions are cults, but there are some who are out there. Cults can range in different sizes as well, from a few followers to over a million followers worldwide. Now, I don't expect that you're probably your tribal element's going to get to over a million followers, a million contributors to that, but that's something to think about. There are cult movements. There's anti-cult movements who are out there. There's you know, the government talks about cults. There's destructive cults that are out there. You have the one with Jim Jones from the People's Temple. You have the Branch Davidian cult, which were, you know, these are destructive cults. You have political cults as well. Political cults, and, you know, whether, you know, it's a Ku Klux Klan, whether it is a, you know, white supremacist cult. Some people call them cults. Whether you think that Antifa or a radicalized BLM is a cult, well, again, that's your First Amendment rights to feel and think and act how you feel in that respect. There's also terrorist cults, and, you know, some of these could be in both. You know, if you terrorize a community, if you try to destroy a community, then you're a terrorist. Destructive mind control cults are out there, and you find that within the world of terrorism that's out there. There's one quote I'm going to one section I'm going to read. Al-Qaeda fits all of the official definitions of a cult. It indoctrinates its members. It forms a close totalitarian society. It is self-appointed. You might have a messianic or a charismatic leader. And they believe that their way and their end justifies the means of what it is they do. There's government cults out there. There's, you know, maybe, you know, brainwashing theories that are out there regarding cults in these United States or deprogramming. You see that, you know, you hear people right nowadays talking about re-education camps. So you may want to think about that. Couple of things I want to read that was written out there as well. This is from the Huffington Post about it is important for all of us to find our tribe, those people we resonate with, especially if you don't have that with your family of origin. There is a deep sense of safety in being with people with whom you connect. That was the Huffington Post back in 2014. Another one, a business coach by the name of Melissa Galt. A tribe is no particular size and occurs organically. A tribe matters because together we all go farther. A tribe is another word for a community. A community is a collection of like-minded people who share common values and beliefs and will put their joint efforts together or towards a common goal. Now, I printed these out this morning. I found these as, you know, stuff off of the internet this morning. But that's exactly what I've said, and I have wrote down, you know, weeks and days ago when I was putting this together, a common goal, as we have. I could go on. I absolutely could go on for more hours in respect to this. You want to put together a tribal group of people? You absolutely do. I've got about 4 minutes left. Because there is, you need to be able to survive or have survival in the wilderness of the unknown. There's a lot of unknowns out there, even in these modern times that we are living in now. A lot of unknowns that are out there. You know, our series of Protecting the Tribe is about putting, you know, protection for yourself, putting tribal elements together, mutual assistance group together, prepper organizations together to protect yourself in the event of crisis or a, you know, I'll say it again, shit hit the fan moment in these United States where there is turmoil, where there is political strife and indifference, and we're fighting in the streets. You need to be able to learn to protect yourself as well. We have some great upcoming shows. The show tomorrow that we're going to do is called The Wolf Within. And this is, you know, talked about on our Chase the Wolf radio show. This talks about people who, you know, may not have, but finally realize that they are in fact the wolf, the thugs, the criminals, the, you know, corrupt politicians and such. And that's what tomorrow's show is about. Next week's show on Protecting the Tribe is going to be Tribal Mutual Assistance Groups. Followed by our Sunday show next week, it's going to be Shadow Wolves, the Deep State Wolves. Those are the wolves in our government, who is behind our government. You know, we talked about puppet masters and such in recent days. These are the people who are the shadow wolves who are out there. You know, it's been really great. And I do appreciate each and every one of you coming up in about 2 minutes here. Again, you can find us on the web at ichasethewolves.com. Follow us each and every week on Blog Talk Radio at blogtalkradio.com/chasethewolf. You can reach out on social media, facebook.com/CTW Media Group, CWP, twitter.com/CTW Media Group. Got about 90 seconds left. You know, I reach out every week. I ask people to call in. I never seem to get anybody calling in. It is open lines for you to be able to do that. Try to call in next week or even on tomorrow's show. 516-453-9103. I appreciate each and every one of you. Also, if you would, please go to the Wolf Conservation Center, nywolf.org. Make a donation to the real Wolves of the Wild. I appreciate you. I want to thank you for tuning in today. And as, oh yeah, one more thing. Don't forget Valentine's Day tomorrow for your special someone. Valentine's Day tomorrow. Don't forget. Get them something special. Take them out someplace special. Thank you for tuning in. And don't forget, everyone, chase the wolf.